Our text is the one question. Is not this the carpenter? Is not this the carpenter? After many mighty deeds, our Lord returns to his own hometown of Nazareth. He goes to the synagogue. He has performed many miracles and done many mighty deeds. He's been baptized. He's been tempted in the wilderness. And now the hometown boy who's made good is coming back to his own city of Nazareth. He goes into the synagogue and he is asked to share the platform with the leader of the synagogue. And so he stands up and leads in the reading of the Word of God to the people. He reads from the 61st of Isaiah, and he stood to read. By the way, that's where we get our custom here at First Baptist Church. It was a custom to stand to read the Word of God, and so we do that and have now through these years. Our Lord stood up to read, and it is said, the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive and the recovering of sight, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Then the Bible says he closed the book and gave it to the minister of the synagogue. And then he said something that startled and angered the people. He said, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your own eyes." He said, "I'm the one about whom Isaiah was talking." They became angered. After a while, they're going to throw him out of the synagogue and down the hill of precipitation. Still can be seen to those who travel to Nazareth. But first they ask the question, "Is not this the carpenter?" That's the text. Is not this the carpenter? Did you ever wonder why our Lord was a carpenter? Couldn't they have asked, "Is not this the preacher? Is not this the healer? Is not this the teacher? Is not this the Savior?" Or couldn't he have been perhaps a banker? Wouldn't that have been a little more, prestigious than being a carpenter? Wouldn't he have made it possible to say, "Is not this the banker? Is not this the mayor? Is not this the lawyer? Is not this the doctor? Is not this the businessman? Is not this the city councilman? Is not this the one who runs the local store?" But they ask, "Is not this the carpenter?" Now, why did our Lord become a carpenter? He looked down from heaven before he became incarnate, clothed upon with human flesh. He looked down from heaven and he saw all the professions of men. Now, nothing, get this, nothing is in the Bible accidentally. Our Lord said, "Not one jot or tittle shall pass away till all be fulfilled." There is no unimportant word in the Bible. And so our Lord looked down and from heaven and said, "Now, well, what would be best for me to be on earth?" He could have been an electrician, he could have been a brick mason, or he could have been a banker or a lawyer, or he could have been a businessman, or he could have been a politician, or he could have just come as a preacher. But they asked the question, "Is not this the carpenter?" Now why? Tell you what. And they said, "Is not this the carpenter?" Now I think he was elevating preparation. Now bear with me. Our Lord came to seek and to save that which was lost, but he spent 18 years at least as a carpenter, and only 3 years in his life ministry. Isn't that unusual to you? He came to seek and to save the lost, and don't you think that maybe for those 18 long years, he wondered, maybe? Or others wondered, or his mother wondered, or sometimes he thought, "Well, now, here I am, I've come to seek and to save the lost, and here I'm making a plow out of a piece of wood. Or here I'm making a yoke." And, of course, you can see the fact that he was a carpenter. You can see it throughout all of his life's ministry. He said, "He that putting his hand to the plow and turns back." He said, "Upon this rock I will build my church." He said, "Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Don't you think many times he had made a yoke and he wanted to make that yoke smooth so it would be easy and not rough, you see? And so he talked a lot about his work as the maker of yokes and the maker of plows. But he was easy for the house. Our Lord, preparing. Yes, I think God was letting his own son spend 18 long years as a carpenter. I mean a common laborer. Why? To elevate preparation. I am vitally concerned about this generation for many reasons. But one reason is we have got the most sordid idea about what preparation is that any generation ever had. We do not prepare our people for life. We prepare our people for a particular vocation. I've told my people this, but I want you folks who are visitors to hear it. It fits in the sermon. David, my boy David, is 16 years of age. He's a Bill Rice Ranch now, working as a carpenter. Good night. Probably doing that too. But he's working as a cowboy and has now four or five years each summer. And David loves horses, and he's in charge of all the horses there and the cookouts and the riding of the horses and so forth. And a year or two ago, Dr. Bill has a daily radio broadcast, a weekly radio broadcast, and he asked David to preach a sermon on his broadcast. And so I got a letter from several people. One person said, I heard your boy David preach his first sermon on the radio. And they said, you'd have thought he was a grown man. You'd have thought he was a mature preacher. The sermon was homiletically... it was right. It was okay. Outlined okay. He delivered it well. And they said, David is really already a seasoned preacher. And Dr. Bill called me and said, Brother Jack, he said, David really preached a good sermon. And I said, young folks, look, are you listening to? And I said, I'm glad that they did. And Dr. Bill said, say, he's good enough to preach in a church now. And I said, well, I'm glad. And he said, you're going to let him preach now for you, aren't you, son? And I said, no, I'm not. And Dr. Bill said, well, why? And I said, I'm just not. He'll not preach for me. And Dr. Bill said, well, how do you expect to make a preacher out of the boy if you don't let him preach some? And I said, Dr. Bill, I'm not trying to make a preacher out of him. I'm trying to make a man out of him. I don't care what your boy is going to be. If you don't make a man out of him first, he won't be much of whatever he's going to be. And our God said, my son is coming to earth. He's going to be the savior of the world. He's going to help people. But first, I want him to be a man. And God knows we are bereft of manhood in America today. So our Lord is a carpenter. I was thinking of my preparation and for the ministry. Oh, I went to college. I prepared. You know, by the way, Dr. Billings, I'm really fighting it. Not to retell you. It's in my heart. And but I've got two or three things that are really cute that I've been wanting to say, but I'm just too good a Christian. And I just don't fight back. I just, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, and I'm letting God take care of mine enemies. The Bible says, lift up not thy hand against God's anointed. And I recall my preparation. I went to college, and I've been to seminary, and I have some degrees, and people think, well, that's preparation. Why, that's the silliest thing in the world. Absolute ridiculous. Nobody's prepared to be a preacher just because he went to college and just because he went to... That's one of the things wrong with our preachers and wrong with our churches. We have a bunch of fellas, such a lazy, sissy fellas who gone off to college and not worked a day, never had to labor hard, never learned how to sweat, never perspired, never labored. They're going off to college and seminary at dad's expense, and some godless professor has crammed a bunch of junk down their throats, and they think they're preachers because they've been prepared. Well, my preparation was in college. I thank God that one day, back in World War II, they were drafting people. In fact, anybody that had a pulse could get drafted back in those days. And physical examination consisted of, he's okay. And I was about to get drafted, so I went down and volunteered for immediate induction. That means I was asking for a special unit, you know. And they said if you volunteer for immediate induction, the volunteers got their preference. And so I got me in some that was not my preference. And one day, I was out on 26-mile hike. We had gone exactly half the way, 13 miles with 13 miles to go, and my blisters had blisters on their blisters. And I'd pull KP, I'd pull guard, I had been on a rifle range. I had walked. I had run those obstacle courses, and you know, that's crawling under that barbed wire and jumping over, climbing that big old wall, and my soul. And so I was just a kid, just 18 years of age, and I hadn't even shaved. No joke, I didn't shave until I was 19. The sergeant came up and said, "How long isn't you shaved, soldier?" I said, 19 years. He said, "You'll shave tonight." And I got me a pair of manicuring scissors and cut it off right there and shaved. Now then, I shave 3 times a day. But they came out and a 26-mile hike, half over. And so fellows came out and said, "We have a special outfit. We want volunteers." Now, they always knew when to ask us to volunteer, because after walking 13 miles or 13 miles to go, and one sergeant said, and I was sort of kidding, he said, "Who wants to volunteer?" And I said, "I do." Now, I didn't know what it was. And then he said, "For the paratroopers." 17 weeks later, I found myself in a most precarious predicament. I found myself 1,200 feet from the ground, with a tow sack on my back and some silk in it, with a hope and a prayer that the silk would come out of the sack, with a sergeant encouraging me and beseeching me greatly to exit, without any leadership from the Holy Spirit. I obeyed the sergeant, and I was a paratrooper. Somebody asked me one time, said, "How many night jumps did you make?" I said, "All the jumps I made were night jumps. My eyes were shut on all of them. And all of them were night jumps." Somebody said, "How many jumps did you make?" I said, "None. I was kicked out 19 times. I didn't jump any." But you know, they put us the first day. Now this, you said, "What are you saying this for?" I think God is making me a preacher. A preacher. And, oh, I want to be a paratrooper. I want to be a paratrooper. They said if a man could become a paratrooper, he could lick 5 normal men. And I'll confess, I never did find any normal men after I got out. But and boy, I wanted to be a paratrooper. I wanted to wear those wings and have that hat and those shiny boots. And I just wanted to be a paratrooper. And so the first day of training, we had to run a mile. Now, I had never run a mile. Now, nowadays, I run a mile often. But I'd never run a mile. And they put me out and with the outfit and run a mile, and they stripped us down to our waist and we had big boots on, and they said, "Okay," and we had to count cadence. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, and ran a mile. Well, about the last 100 yards, I thought I would make it. I blacked out, I fell out, and I regurgitated all over the floor, I mean the ground. Not all over the ground. There was some parts of the ground that did not get it, but most of the world got it. And So I regurgitated, and the sergeant walked up, and he stirred me with his foot, and he said, "Soldier, when we quit running in this outfit, we crawl." And so I crawled. That's the way I wanted to be a paratrooper. I crawled in my own vomit. I wanted to be a paratrooper. I wanted to be one so bad. The next day, ran 2 miles. The next day, 3 miles. On to the 10th day, we ran 10 miles, and for about 3 weeks, we had to run 10 miles every day. Now, some of you folks that were paratroopers back in the old days know, nowadays, they can't run you for a little while. Every 10 minutes, you got to have a break and walk a bit. But we ran 10 miles every day without stopping. And then push-ups. You won't believe this. I can't believe it myself. If I do 20 push-ups now, of course, it's a little easy. I don't have quite as far to push-ups as I used to. But if I do 20 push-ups now, I'm really puffing and huffing when I get through. But I did 90 with a full field pack on my back and a sergeant counting them. He said, "You do 90 push-ups?" But what I did was, he said, "Hiles, do 25 push-ups." They were calling a roll. You know, and you're supposed to say, "Here, sir." And so he called my name, and I sort of said, "Bendis," and I said, "Here." He said, "Say here, sir, Hiles." I said, "Here, sir, Hiles." And he said, "Give me 25 push-ups." And I said something back. He said, "Make that 50. And I said, "Would you go for 75? He said, "Give me 90. Well, I knew I'd better not say anything else. And I did 90 push-ups with a full fuel pack on my back. That's what you call potential energy. Because my kinetic wore out a long time before that. Why? I wanted to be a paratrooper. I wanted to be a paratrooper. All my heart I did. We did calisthenics. We climbed rope till I absolutely wanted to hang myself on the top of it. We did calisthenics a half a day and ran the other half. And running. But I wanted to be a paratrooper. Now look, what was God doing? He was making a man out of me. That's what he was doing. God was making a preacher. Why? He wanted somebody who had some fortitude to preach. And so he was making a preacher. I got out of the paratrooper, tried to find a job. Went home, tried to find a job. And I couldn't find it. First thing I did, bought $700 worth of furniture on credit. No job. Ignorant, stupid. I had a habit of sleeping on a bed, and I hated to break it. And no job. I looked and looked, and finally, our only job that was available was a job laying oak floor. Just now, we didn't have any automatic floor layers back in those days. Men, what I would do, would go to building a house, and I would bid how much.